acknowledgement of country. Rouse County Council acknowledges traditional custodians of the land upon which we work and live. We pay our respects to elders of the past, present and emerging, and acknowledge their continuing connection to country, who will guide us on our shared journey to the future. Mr. General Manager, and councillors, we might go a little bit of away from the apologies because there's none or absence of leave of absence. We have a couple of staff members who are to receive some awards. So I'll hand over to the General Manager to wish that course.
Thank you, Chair. So we've revisited our staff awards, so introduced some new categories within the organisation for recognition. But one of the ones that we've had for a while is user service awards. However, historically, that's been myself and the team at the Christmas party. However, we've decided to do the user service at the last council meeting of the year, just to have that connection with the governing body and our staff. So this year we have two Years of Service Awards. So we've got one staff member, Vanessa, who's here today for 20 years. And we've also got Mel, who's unfortunately unable to make it today, but for 10 years. So it was just the way to have that better connection with the governing body. So yeah, we're just going to be doing it at the December meeting. So I'll have Vanessa come over.
Yay, Vanessa!
So, and we've got to get a photo too.
Okay.
So, thank you, Vanessa. So, 20 years is a remarkable amount of years of service. So, and on behalf of the chair and myself.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
The That excuses you.
Jeez. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, lovely. You went and do your housework now, Vanessa.
All done. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Love working here. Been an adventure. 20 years. A lot of things have happened. It's quite terrible when you say that out loud. 20 years. Yeah, I was only young when I started. But yeah,
you're still young.
I know. And my sidekick's going to leave me soon, so
yes.
We'll get to that later.
Yes, that would be great. We'll be coming for her.
So, well done, Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa. Early up to confirmation of the minutes on page one.
Mayor?
Any matters arising out of that? Put that motion and all those in favour. And also the confirmation of minutes and extraordinary council meeting on the 15th of November, page 8 and 9.
Happy to move.
Seconder. Councillor Robinson. Put that motion, all those in favour. Carried. You now have a notice of motion on page 10, submitted by Councillor Bruin. Councillor Bruin, I need a mover. Second, mover and a second. Councillor Bruin.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This motion would affect reinstate a policy that had existed in relation to the land until it was ceased, I understand, by the previous council. The amount of land is not great. We already possess 60% of the required land needed for the dam and its buffer. So there's about 40% remaining, which I understand totals about 12 properties. The great thing about this is it gives the owners of those properties the ability to sell at a time to suit them and on very favourable terms, including possibly leasing back the property. Of course, we know the tenders are now open for the very important environmental and heritage study work that has to be done. We look forward to the results of that because we all know around this table that we need this dam very badly. We've potentially escaped a bullet this summer with the expected El Nino not being as severe, it would seem, as we were initially fearing. But this would have been a very bad summer because, as we know, we rely so heavily on Rocky Creek Dam at the moment. It was built to serve a population of 50,000 people which is today the population of Ballinashire. Of course, that's not taking into account there's another 30-odd thousand in both Byron and Lismore local government areas, and to about 10,000, of course, in Richmond Valley as well. So it's not enough. And all the other measures that we would need, aside from the dam, are more expensive and more difficult and more complicated, including the very real possibility of requiring a desal plant, which would have to be placed in a very sensitive area down near Byron Bay, and it's just cost prohibitive. It's just fairy tale stuff. So hopefully the studies for which the tenders are now open for will allow us to go ahead with this, and this motion today ensures that we keep going with the purchase of the necessary land so we can do so on the best terms. And worst case scenario, if the dam wasn't to go ahead, this still represents a very good investment with a return for council. Thanks, Chair.
Just before I take another speaker, I just want to be noticed that I did miss the disclosure of interest. The general manager tells me that's nil, but has any councillor got any last minute ones? Other seconder?
Thanks, Chair. Look, this is actually no different to the current policy that we have. It's just reaffirming the status quo, I think. But any acquisition of land, I think it's important that we note that any acquisition of land would need to come back to council anyway. That would need to be reported up to council, and the council would need to make a decision on any acquisition of any land. So that Rocky Creek Dam was built for 25,000 people only.
In
1953, not 50,000. So it's done very well. And I don't think we're out of the woods yet with water restrictions looming and the way the climate's going. So we're certainly not out of the woods yet. We've got a long way to go there. Just leading up to Christmas, if we can hold on till Christmas, I think that'll be a terrific thing without any water restrictions. And I did try and look on the site last night to see where the dam level was at, but I couldn't find it. It was probably being updated.
It was over 80, it's 84 or something.
84? Just under 84. It's dropped in the last day, but yeah, it's 83, I think, off the top of my head. But we've stabilised in the 80s for a period of time because we've had those top-up showers,
yes,
and we've been utilising the Wilson source. However, yeah, those showers have stopped over the last week, so we'll see if we catch some rain in the, over the next week where there's some forecast to look back.
Well, it's only 13% before we go on water restrictions on level one, so that was certainly not out of the woods. We just have to pray that it keeps raining, I think. Tender's out now for the studies, and let's hope that that doesn't take too long, so we can get this water strategy well and truly underway. We certainly need it. That's all, Chair.
Question.
Yes.
I'm just trying to get which one it is. So you're saying that it is the existing policy, and this is a reiteration. You're saying the existing policy was repealed last term, and this is needed in order to restate it. So can I just get some clarity about which it is?
I don't believe there is a policy. There is a, it's in line with our previous decisions to purchase land if we need. So it's just going along the same lines.
It's in line with previous purchases.
Yeah, and decisions that have been made.
But was there a policy in place?
So we don't have a policy on purchasing.
Have we had a policy?
Not off the top of my head. We've had council's position, so like a resolution and things like that, but not a, here's a, like a traditional policy.
Yeah.
Through the chair, just for clarification, that the area is zoned as a dam, so an owner can show some hardship because of that zoning and things like that, and that forces a conversation to happen. This is just a more proactive and making a bit clearer to the community that, because there's been a lot of misinformation and a lot of rumours about what can and hasn't happened over time, and this is just restating and making it a lot clearer for individuals there. But because there's the zoning of the dam, someone can show that they're struggling to sell it, and that forces a conversation by default to happen with the governing or with Rouse. As the staff comment says, we it's not a an item that can be delegated to us to action. We have to provide that business case, and it has to be in line with our land management policy of showing the reasons behind it and presenting that to the councils for its consideration. So it's an area that's been a little bit unclear, and there's been a lot of commentary over a long period of time. So this is a way of just having that a lot clearer in terms of a position from council.
And the policy that's attached, it relates to the land acquisition generally?
Correct, yeah. We don't have, as I said through the chair, we don't have a dedicated future water land procurement.
And if there was
a set position, not policy.
And if the zoning is for the dam, then even with without this policy or position or not, there's not going to be any problem acquiring properties as required. Like it's a pretty simple thing.
Someone can privately sell and not even think about talking to Rouse.
No, but I mean, say for example, in the future, 20, 30 years, whatever, the decision for a dam were to go ahead. So then it would be a simple matter to acquire compulsorily any remaining properties.
Correct. The difference with compulsory acquisition is there's usually a cost premium associated with that versus voluntary. Because you're making that decision on that landholder's behalf instead of them coming to the conclusion that they want to sell. So there's a financial component that you pay above the market rate as that compensation, because they haven't made that decision. We've made that on their behalf.
Thank you.
Question through the chair. Thank you. Are we taking the same approach with other potential land acquisitions relating to the other options in the scheme in terms of desal or other land that may be useful in pursuing the other options?
Yeah, so through the chair, yes. So we've identified lands for around Woodburn. We've identified lands in terms of Marram Creek, and that's a conversation we're having with Ballina. We've purchased the land already in the or made a deposit for the land for the new water treatment plant. The areas that we haven't at the moment is Tiagra, but we've do have some budget for that, and we've been looking at, but we've got to do some further work to best understand what that scheme looks like and things like that. So there is some land work behind the scenes that's looking at those future water.
So with a follow-up question, would there be benefit, rather than focusing this just on the dam, focusing this on the future water strategy and land acquisition that may help support that, given that the very same argument exists for any land acquisition in the Northern Rivers region? It's all incrementally, if not exponentially, going up in value. So the risk associated with it is financially not what it may have been at other times. And it doesn't narrow the focus down to one option.
So through the chair, that's been why we have a land fund put as part of the future water, because that exact reason, that land costs just continue to increase instead of decreasing. The difference between some of the future water is that some of it's very well known what that footprint's going to look like, others not so much. And that just blurs the line. If I look at the proposal with Dunoon, the other area that blurs that line is that we already own a substantial amount of that land versus the other sites where we don't. So we've been, from a staff point of view, been taking a bit of a hybrid approach there, where we've identified these areas make sense trying to have the business case develop more of around what that scheme looks like, so we can then bring that back to council's consideration. So similar to Marram Creek and Austinville. The other parts, Woodburn, we've identified and we're doing some land owner work there, but the other parts were just not mature enough to come back. But that's where we would like to be, get to the point that it's not focused on one particular scheme. It's generic enough to say, this is how we're handling it. These are the drivers. And that then helps form that part of the business case back to the governing body.
Thank you.
I just want to ask about the desal site. How could we possibly acquire land there? Isn't that a national park and no zoning for like the dam zoning up there? How do you acquire national park and unzoned land?
So, through the chair, the desal has the one that was originally identified has aspects that's actually within the like the industrial precinct, and that would be a strategic purchase if council wanted to. But there's other factors that are going into that, is the leading infrastructure, the cost for the pipe network to go out into the ocean, and that's what we're going through that process at the moment before we jump in terms of the land, because the land is actually the cheapest component, which doesn't seem right, but it's the cheapest component compared to everything else when it comes to desalination. Where it goes to the other sites, the land parcels are quite small and more cost effective. So that's why I said the difficulty is it's not easy to have like a one-stop rule. There's some general principles that underpin the future water, and then we've got to do some technical work and costings and some scheme designs to be able to bring that back so there's a degree of confidence.
Other speakers?
I might speak quickly in favour of it. So this is, it was good to see to bring it back to light and reaffirm the position that we've got the land policy. And I think it stalled when it was taken off the table in 2020, and I think it's reinvigorated the debate. But this went through recently, the RAP group meeting. So we wanted to involve the Aboriginal community in everything that we're doing going forward. And there was a bit of confusion about what exactly we were doing. I think they thought we were going to go ahead with the dam, which we weren't. So once that was clarified, I think everyone was content to wait to see the cultural heritage study, the environmental studies, which to me is the most essential thing to determine what we do or what we don't do. So I think if everyone's happy to wait for those studies to come back, I think we can go from there. And this just clarifies our position until then. So I support it.
I'll speak if that's okay.
So thanks for bringing this up. I guess we're at a point in time where we are seeing land values going up and up, and it is good to have a strategic position around how we manage that rather than being on the back foot when we do make a decision. Personally, I would much prefer to have a notice of motion that looked at taking this position, but for lands with strategic interest for the whole of the future water strategy. I think some of the language that you use, that we all know that we need this dam, I think becomes a bit inflammatory. I think, you know, we're still looking at options. We still need to find out what we can do in different areas. We need a diversity of supply. We can't be, you know, completely reliant on one. So at this point in time, I would support looking at it as a whole of the future water strategy rather than putting bias towards one particular outcome. I would beg to say that not everyone's content around, you know, the cultural study going ahead. A lot of the elders are deeply offended that they're having to go through this process again, and it's really challenging and difficult, and I just want that known to the room. It's not there's no warm fuzzy feelings about going through this process. It is very difficult and traumatic for a lot of them. They've lost a lot of the elders that participated previously, but what was great about that meeting is they were able to have input in how the tender process was going to work and put forward the things that were really important to them collectively around making sure that there were both male and female archaeologists involved so that the stories could be told, you know, in line with cultural practices and other things that are really important to them. So I just wanted that clarified. It wasn't, you know, warmly embraced. It's done very reluctantly, but, you know, that's the position the council's taken, and that's there is an understanding that you know, they have, if they're going to participate, they want to make sure it's done in the most culturally appropriate way. I'm wondering if the move is open to adjusting the motion to look at the purchasing of land of strategic interest to all of the future water strategy options that would be taking into consideration things that were potentially less likely but you know, having at the, you know, those interests in Tiagra or in different areas, I think we should be open to looking at that. It's a good position to take if we're doing it as a whole. But if we're going to be putting all our eggs in one basket, heading towards one particular goal, then no, I can't support it in that form.
I'm happy to amend the wording to reflect what Councillor Nadine is saying. I don't think it detracts from what we're trying to achieve here at all. But if it ensures that there's more support around the table, I think that's a good thing.
Just before you do that, look, I'll just say a few things. Firstly, there won't be water restrictions before Christmas. I can assure you of that, because it's 13%, which is usually about 1% a week. So we're still at 2 to 3 months away from that even look like occurring. So I just didn't want, if anyone's watching, to think that we could be that. The other one is, I've got no problems with this. I just question a bit why it came, because it's the same process that we're doing now. But anyway, I'll support it. What I want to ask the general manager is there a time now we should be looking at a policy for purchase of land for our future water strategy to come to council early in the new year?
So, to be honest, that's a conversation that we're having at the moment. Does it best sit in its own policy? Does it sit better in other areas? And that's a conversation that land management in general, not just for future water, but other strategic purchases. For example, if a property came up for sale right next to Rocky Creek Dam, what is council's appetite or feeling associated with that? So that's a body of work that has been identified. So to answer that question, to be honest, I'm not in a position to provide the best guidance right now. We need something. If it's within existing land management or something separate, we will get to that detail. But there is a gap at the moment. Just to provide that clarification, in the last debate with Future Water, there was a lot of conversations about disposing of the existing lands in Dunoon and things like that. So there is a lot of misinformation in the community. So similar to one of the councillors' comments, this is providing just that clarity and reconfirming basically something that is not very clear. And to be honest, even with some of our staff, it took a while for us to get our heads around what some of those existing positions were, because this has dragged on for decades now. So
I think we do need some guidance in a policy or a report to come back to council, because getting closer to our future water strategy needs, and also our finalisation of what will go ahead. But I personally would rather buy land voluntary than a forced acquisition. I think, you know, if any land comes out there available and the people voluntarily want to dispose, but Ralph should be on the front foot to be able to get it. So I'm going to support the notice of motion. But as I said, it just goes along with the consistent previous council's decision. So but I would like to see that need a motion, but you understand that we need something back to council.
Well, we'll put through the chair, perhaps we could add that as a point three. Is it request a report?
You happy with that? Said that?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that'll resolve it then. Second note.
Yes, more than happy. I think we do need that parameter around the strategic direction for sure.
So through the chair, can we go back to where we were, that Councillor Brewin did say that he was happy to make that amendment to point one?
Yep.
So I guess that would change the wording. It could be to reconfirm the prior position in relation to acquisition of land in the proposal of the Dunoon Dam area, and also areas of strategic interest to the future water strategy.
So through the chair, I'm suggesting that we might just amend the title and remove proposed Dunoon Dam and just say future water 2060 acquisition of properties, and then that way you can leave point one as it is, leave point two it is because it's talking about more generic, and then introduce a point three, which is report back to council regarding strategic land purchases for future water 2060.
So you just change the proposed dam to future water strategy.
My understanding, and with our motions in council, the name of the motion is of little consequence compared to what's actually written in the points. And for me, I would feel much more comfortable if it was included in point one, even if it's an addition to what's already there, to say, and strategic interest to the future water strategy. And that doesn't mean that I'm suggesting we go out and purchase, you know, willy-nilly, like, everything, but going, okay, well, this is coming up and this prospect is looking more and more likely, so that could be of use. Or, you know, we had difficulties down in Ballinashire with the land and the tenure, and so where we had to put the bores was not necessarily the very best place. If we knew then that, you know, previously that land was going to be critical to that decision, then having that would have been great to have in our portfolio.
So based on that feedback for your chair, point one, as it is, and comma after attachment one, and strategic intent in interest in future waters, and we'll just add that small amendment.
Land of strategic interest to the future water strategy 2060.
And then we'll introduce a point three, which is report back to council regarding strategic land purchases for future water. And that should, in that report, that'll be either a policy or amendments, and we'll come back with what we think is the best way.
I think that's very important.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's a potential land purchase.
Audio comments?
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other speakers? Council Brown to close.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, councillors, for your input, and Councillor Indy for your suggested improvements, which I agree are very worthwhile amendments to the original motion, because we do need to keep our balls in every court at the moment because of the situation that we face. And I think it's very important, particularly for people living down around Tiagra, to also know about the potential development there of a desal plant and how that could impact on that community, which I would suggest is every bit as great as what's being feared for the people around Dunoon. This motion makes it clear to those people, the 12 property owners who are affected, that this council is open to doing a deal. I think there was that perception that was created by the last council, if not a policy change, certainly a perception that buying land there was off the table. And as the general manager stated, it was even unclear here within council. So this puts that right. And with the amendment from Councillor Endai, it certainly also shows that we are looking at every option. And what I do take exception to, Councillor, in terms of your comments, was this fact that suggesting that we do need this dam is somehow inflammatory. I just think that's a fact. I felt so before joining this council, and everything I've learned in the very in-depth briefings that we've had from staff over the last 2 years only, to me, highlights the fact we do need this dam, or if not this dam, another dam. But as has been stated, the land at Dunoon is already zoned for a dam, and the planning process is already a fair way down the track. If not that dam, we'd have to look at another site, ideally, for a water storage akin to a dam, perhaps off course, but something like that this region needs. If we were having to scrap planning for that one and start planning for another one now, you'd be looking at probably 100 years' time at the rate things move. And because I think of the lack of perception of the urgency of this, at state and federal level, and we will need cooperation from state and federal, I'd suggest, to make this happen. So I stand by my comments, and they're not in any way inflammatory, and I'm very happy to discuss it with anyone why we need a dam. And I think we should be able to say that without it being seen as inflammatory. And so I thank councillors again for your comments.
That closes the debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried, unanimous. 8:17, 8.1.
Happy to move, Chair.
Section attended to roll. Is the capital?
No, I think those dates probably suit everybody as best we can.
Councillor Rob, speakers, put that motion in. All those in favour? Very. So 8.2 over the page. Could I get a mover, please? Yes. Update interim arrangement.
A second.
Enjoy. And
hello. Hi, I want to see you too.
9.1, isn't it, Chair? Well,
9.2.
8.1,
page 20.
Okay.
What are we doing here?
18.9.
9.4. Okay, sorry. No, leave this with Rob. Sorry, I thought we were at 9.2. Councillor Rob, somebody else can second this.
Okay.
My apologies. Some confusion there. It was either
8.1, 9.1, 9.2. We had a bit of a email come back after an inquiry from one of our councillors of Lismore. About where we're up to with this, and you know, it's really just working it out. We're trying to come to a resolution. But you know, I mean, Lismore's obviously reluctant to take it on board due to the depreciation issues that go with this. I'm very keen to see it, you know, obviously stating why, you know, I want to Lismore as well, for those who don't know at home listening. I would like to see this go to Lismore as soon as possible, because I think it's one of our most important pieces of infrastructure in relation to flood mitigation for Lismore. Rouse, their flood mitigation, well, our flood mitigation is everything except urban areas. It seems it's the only piece of urban flood mitigation infrastructure that Rouse looks after. So there's nothing in Byron, nothing in Byron, nothing in Richmond Valley. So I don't think that's fair. But most importantly for Lismore, it's not being maintained at a level where it should be, I believe. And I think if it's put in Lismore's hands, not only do they have to maintain it, they have to depreciate it. So that would, I think, force a lot more work to be done on the levy to keep it up to scratch. It's already needed work more than once. It's had some serious repair jobs there. I remember when it first, I think, behind the Lismore Club, there was a big section. Now we're down near the twin bridges down there. There's cracking or something. And I think it's important to make sure this thing is kept at its premium at that upfront level. So just I hope everyone supports it, and let's get this asset plan done.
Councillor Cadwell, under a second.
Well, it sounds like progress is being made, which is good. We certainly need to keep moving in a forward direction with this. It's been on the books far too long. So it's very pleasing that there is some movement happening. Very happy about that.
I just wanted to say how good it is to read that while we don't yet have a breakthrough on this that we dearly like, the councils are working well together and all levels of government seem to be working well together, ensuring that the levy will be in good working order when the next flood comes. And I think that stands in strong contrast to the later item in the report in terms of the Bungle-Walton levy, which is really unfortunate. And I might say some more about that when we get to it. But good to see that this is working, as I suppose, as well as it would. And that's, I think, reassuring for the community. Thanks, Chair.
Any other speakers?
Just to make a comment, whilst the report, the progress and the report is positive, I still don't have that level of confidence I wish that I did. And I would just like to say that number two, Rouse, I don't believe Rouse can move forward without this confirmation that Lismore will take and assume responsibility for their cassette, because Rouse should not be responsible for any further non-payment of depreciation that will come with new assets. But that's my concern. I still don't have that level of confidence that I wish I did. I have more confidence than probably 6-8 months ago, 2 years ago, but I'm still concerned.
You want to make a comment? Or?
Yeah, so through the chair, this issue has been ongoing for quite a long time, as everyone around the table is aware. The further investment further complicates it, and that's what we're trying to draw a line in the sand, that we don't make the problem even bigger and spend another 10 years or 20 years trying to resolve it and divvy this up to say, well, we don't want to get caught that we're stopping these essential works happening. However, we were not the ones who put the submissions in. We did not scope them up. That was solely from LCC who did that. So that's why we're trying to not blur the lines. It's difficult because when you do these works, there's improvements and change to the assets. So it's not going to be perfect, but we're trying to segregate as much as possible so we don't get a bigger snowball effect and find it even harder. Would have been great if these things were sorted out well before these submissions were put in, but that's not the case, and we're dealing with the best that we've got at the moment. There's no... Well, once we've got a position here, we can convey that to Lismore. We've still got to have confirmation that they're willing to accept that. If they don't, then we'll have to do further discussion, because that will then delay those works, because we will not be in a position, and nor should we be in a position to accept new additional assets to something that we have no capacity to maintain nor finance into the future.
Any other speakers?
Just a further question on that. I mean, seems like then we've got a little bit of power in this situation, and maybe confident that we're using it in the best way possible. I mean, couldn't we use this situation to... I think it's good to work in good faith if you think it's going to achieve a result, but given the need to do the works and the desire from Lismore Council to do the works, it is a lever that we could be using, right?
Correct. However, and this is why we've written the report the way, there is a risk that if the bluff is called from Lismore and those works don't proceed and the funding's withdrawn, comes back on Rouse as the one who, and then it becomes a PR storm of finger pointing. And this is a way of, at the end of the day, we're here to service the community, and we don't want to lose sight of that and trying to manage that. But that is an opportunity that may get explored in the new year if Lismore does not want to accept this halfway point. What we're trying to do is just not...
I think it's a generous halfway point.
It's just trying to... Yeah. Well, it's a difficult situation.
Thanks to council. Okay.
I'll just point out that this isn't for Lismore to take ownership of the whole levy. This is only on the new assets.
Yeah, no, I'm
30 million.
Yeah.
30 million assets.
I'm aware.
So I think that's a fair and reasonable request from Rouse. We didn't fill in the application for that funding. And I think if Lismore done that and they're going to do the work, they should be responsible for it. The other thing, I'll just ask the question, and you may need to take this on notice, but Woolabar and Grafton have urban levies. Who is responsible for those?
I'll do 100% confirmation, but it's my understanding is that they're the responsibility of the General Purpose Council, so Clarence Valley and Tweed Shire. But we'll take that on notice. But we're the only flood mitigation authority remaining in the state. So when there was the mergers within Clarence Valley, that county council was dissolved, and those functions were brought into the general purpose council.
That the resolution is just starting to bring this more levy into line with other neighbouring. Thank you. You'll get clarification.
Yeah, I'll get 100% clarification on that.
Any other speakers? Councillor Rob Rider, report. That motion, and all those in favour? Harry.
You're in favour, are you?
She says yes.
Over to page 9.2, page 20. Staff investigation response notice of motion to access low-lying, high-risk rural floodplain areas. Could I get a mover, please?
Yes.
Councillor Rob, second. Councillor Enjoy.
Yeah, I was happy.
Councillor Broome, just give me one question.
It
was Councillor Broome.
I'm not sure who was first. Doesn't matter.
Councillor Broome, second. Councillor Rob.
Yeah, I'm happy to see this come back. I mean, we saw the excellent report back from Ms. Clay. We've done some excellent research there and explained very clearly the issues with that. If you remember, I looked at trying to acquire land there voluntarily, not compulsorily, but there's a lot of issues down there. And I think this will give us a good direction in the future to try and pick up or try and get the government to support picking up some land down there to try and rejuvenate the sites and improve river health and hopefully stop some fish kills and the blackwater events and all that sort of stuff. But I really do like the work Ms. Clay's done and I have to acknowledge that.
Good report. Yes, we do.
Thanks, Chair. I congratulate Councillor Robb for bringing this motion on. I think this is really significant. And this could well be the centrepiece in terms of this council's efforts to restore the health of our catchment in a big way. And the timing could not be better in terms of the potential, I think, to be able to access substantial amounts of funds that the federal government is setting aside to deal with climate change. To me, this seems like a primary candidate of the sort of work that could be done through that climate change adaption funding, because this really is about climate change. The sorts of land we're talking about here would never have been cleared today, knowing what we know, and with perhaps the climate changes we've already seen. These were wetlands, essentially, and as we know, wetlands are like the vital organs of the river system, the lungs and the kidneys that filter things out and inject energy into the system. And so the wetlands that keep the system healthy have largely been destroyed and could be put back through this program. I would only like to suggest that perhaps there's a third point or the second point's changed that to incorporate that we take this policy also to federal government to try and access some of this climate change money, because that's where the big money is. I think trying to get money out of state government at the moment's like getting blood out of a stone, but there is money set aside for climate change work. The community has deemed that's important, and I can't think of a more important thing in our region than this to restore the health of our river system. Only yesterday, you might have heard that that Southern Cross Uni has done a study on looking at chemicals in the Richmond River down at Ballina on the beaches there where people are swimming, and there are harmful levels of chemicals there, including one particular poison that was banned for use in Australia some 20 years ago. So that tells you how healthy our system is. And this sort of program could go a long way towards turning this around. So, Chair, just perhaps if you could advise, and if Councillor Robb's amenable, just to adding something about that we also approach the federal government.
Seek funding from the federal government.
And just on that point, Councillor Cadwallader would remember last year at the Australian Coastal Council's conference, we heard, I think it was a video presentation from Murray Watt talking about this particular program, which is what alerted me. Councillor Cadwallader, of course, chairs that organisation and has just been re-elected.
Congratulations.
So we were told as councils at that conference that we should be looking at this fund and using it. So again, right. I think it's the ideal way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
If it's a point three saying seek state and federal grant funding wherever possible, because point two is only about changing the report of the floodplain strategies and the state government controls that. But yeah, if we chase all funding opportunities,
I think the general manager could sort of.
Yeah. So we've created point three, which is this position be referred to the state and federal government seeking funding for just keep it alive, because we could put for climate change, but it's a bit more than that. So I think if we just say, yeah, state and federal government seeking funding based on that council position.
That sounds good.
All right. Except that. So that's been amended. Have a part three.
Question through the chair. Later in the report, it talks about, I guess, where we're left at the end advocating for strategic decisions from the state government. And I think, yeah, I'm really happy that was really happy to read this report. And I think we do have an opportunity here, particularly because of the positioning and what's gone on in the last 2 years with the flood events, to use that platform to help tell that story and advocate at those at those conferences, both state and federally. Is that something that the organisation's looking to? I mean, I know we've been very much in recovery mode and just getting everything back in order, but strategically that's a very good position to be in, to have that story and to be able to try and help elevate the awareness of that issue.
So this goes a long way in terms of having that position for council, for so staff, when we are writing submissions or we're having those conversations, to have confidence that it's not staff members' position, it's the organisation's. So that does help. I know in terms of Chrissy, there is a lot of conversations and with Anthony in the works that we do things through, like the CMPs, the coastal management plans, through NEMA, that we've raised a lot of these things in the past. But that's a difference from our staff members' point of view versus the organisation. So this will add more certainty and provide staff that backing that's on behalf of the organisation. So it's not perfect, but yeah, there has been some areas there. I think when things settle down and we move more away from that recovery to a bit of a review of what's happened, and I think particularly when we see the modelling from CSIRO release, that's probably going to be the better opportunity to have that, because we'll have the data to back up what happened in our system and what did it look like. We see these changes and we can tie those bodies of work. At the moment, there's not anything that's really underpinning at all, other than observations and that experience on the ground. But having CSIRO's body of work, I think, will really help underpin any statements and work we do going forward. That's the hope. Until we see it, that to me is the start of that conversation.
Thank you.
Any speakers?
I'm just looking up what the Australian Coastal Councils Association are doing. We've had these motions before the ELGA, the Local Government Assembly, and they've all been supported unanimously. So this one is that a National Coastal Hazards Adaptation Plan be established to implement a national program to coordinate coastal adaptation planning, hazard data collection and analysis, and data prevention projects to mitigate the increasing risks associated with projected sea level rise and frequent and severe extreme weather events. Now, in disaster zones, and having said that, it's similar to a motion which was presented at the 2023 ALGA National Assembly by the city of Onkaparinga, which is where we're having our conference next year, McLaren Vale. So that said, the National General Assembly calls on the Australian government to make strong national commitment to coastal adaptation planning, funding, hazard data collection, I think that's quite pertinent for us, and analysis, and coordinated action to mitigate the increasing risks of predicted sea level rises and more regular and intense storm surges. So I think whilst individual councils, ACCA can't put in a notice of motion, it has to come through a general purpose council. So that's how it gets on the table. And we were instrumental in the $200 million fund. That was ACCA's original idea, which was supported by the national government. And that was pleasing. This fund we're talking about now, that we should be applying for things, because I think even though what we're talking about is not on the coast, it ends up on the coast, and it's all about the floodplain. So I do think that we can get involved in that as well. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Rob? No? Is that most of all those in favour? Harry? Page 23, item 10.1, investment policy. Could I get a mover, please? Fine, second. Councillor Brown. Councillor Lawrence.
No, I haven't got anything.
Councillor Brown.
I would just welcome the very sensible minor amendment around the definition of ethical investments. It's a very sensible change because I think there's quite a bit of confusion about what that actually means. And then we'll have different, as we're entitled to have different ideas about what's good ethics and what's not. I think the clarification that these are investments that do not support the fossil fuel industries a very sensible one.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Lot of reply. Put that motion. All those in favour?
Carried.
Unanimous. Page 43, information reports. Can I get a move?
Carried.
Move. Second to Councillor Ross.
There's quite a few things in here. Of really interest to me was the Bunga Walpen levy. Getting the history of that was really interesting. Thank you for that. And I didn't realise we'd actually spent that much money, you know, Rouse money, in maintaining the levy. I thought that was extraordinary. And of course, we're waiting. It's now blown out to $3 million. I thought it was only about $1.5 million initially, but it's, I noticed the number is now $3 million for us to be able to do those works properly. But when we look at 15 residential dwellings directly protected by the levy and more than 90 indirectly affected through the closure of evacuation, it's pretty important that we get this working, isn't it? So we've just got to keep trying to get the funding for it. And the pictures certainly tell the story, don't they? So that was the one that I found really interesting. And I can't understand why it hasn't been funded. We've put in all those applications. Chair, you've been vocal on meetings that we had. Bill has, myself, have all got a lot to say. This is hugely important. And we just have to keep trying to get this funded.
Councillor Brown, you said earlier you want to speak, and I'll give you an update of some other things that happened if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I too, like Councillor Cadwallader, was very grateful to get the update. And I think we were all approached as councillors by the community at Bunga Walpen earlier in the year or late last year around their concerns. And while the work that has been done will protect that community in times of minor or moderate flooding, it's just not going to be enough should there be a substantial flood. And we all know that as the months pass, we're getting closer to the next major flood because that's the history of this valley. And we're told that the events will be bigger than previous as well. So it must be so worrying for the community, the people in the community there who are just getting back on their feet in many cases. And Chair, I'm sure you know better than me, to think that this threat's still there. It's almost as if they have been forgotten. I mean, we were promised by the Premier and the Prime Minister before they were elected that this region would not be forgotten in terms of what needed to happen after the flood. And this is shameful. How is it allowed to happen? Is it because there's only, you know, 30 houses there? Is that they're seen as not significant enough to warrant that sort of investment? But whatever the reasoning is, it's not good enough. And I look forward, Chair, to what you have to say, because I do wonder what more could we be doing? What more could we be doing to ensure that this is addressed? As I said, it was good to hear that the Lismore levy is being put into place. And obviously that protects a much larger number of people. But we can't afford to let Bunga Walpen be forgotten. We know that while so many of us in this valley were smashed in the flood and endured hardships, I think people of Bunga Walpen particularly suffered the most because, as I understand it, the water stayed there for such a protracted period. So your heart goes out to the Chair, and I welcome your report. I did also want to comment on one of the other matters in the information report.
We'll do the Bunga first, and then we'll
come back to that.
Yep.
All right.
Look, I can assure you that, and as Councillor Cadwallader said, I'm working as hard as I can on this. I don't miss a, we have our leaders forum, and I'm bringing up regular that. And any opportunity I get to promote this, I do.
You can see how many funding applications we've put in, and they just for some reason slipped through the gaps. When the Lismore ice cream factory was opened, I was there with Councillor Gordon, and Minister Murray Watt was there. I got in his ear one-on-one, and it's pretty straightforward what I had to say. It's just not good enough, and he's made promises, I said, you're fully aware of it. We talked about it down in at Bungalwalbin at another, when we've done that funding that time. And I just said, we can't get any traction with this. So he called a lady called Jill Chalker over from NEMA, and that's the National Emergency Management Agency. She gave me her particulars and sent me a text and asked a few questions. I gave her, info. She wanted some more. We replied to that, and I also asked her if I could give her number to our general manager, which has happened, and I believe from there's been discussions, and she's put you on to you can give us an update from where that's going.
Yep. So that was a really good conversation that we had with her team. So they've released the report that provided some feedback of the previous applications that we hadn't received, even though we've been asking. So we've now applied in the EOI that closed last week under the second round, taking on some of that feedback and put that in. We've been chasing up obviously our local member too in terms of Kevin Hogan and his chief of staff, who've also been making those cases down in Canberra as well. Unfortunately, it's one of these ones that doesn't fit the category of an urban, and it's big, it's quite a large rural levy in terms of what it protects, and it's just the criteria just doesn't fit perfectly in the areas that's been funded. And that's what we've really made the case in terms of those, not just the directly impacted, but those areas that are cut off, the ongoing, I was just touched on here, that the social impacts of the once the levy is breached, the concern that people are feeling of, well, what happens if another flood comes through, and really try to stress that to provide the context, because people just see it's a rural levy and they make these assumptions, and we've really tried to clarify that in terms of don't go off the name, look at what we've provided those maps and a lot more context there. So the initial conversations have been good, but we'll know more in the new year once they go through that EOI process, that if we get through. It's one of those interesting situations where it's got to go through the state before it goes to the panel. So there's a couple of different steps, and I know Andrew's been talking with the state, I've been talking with the federal, trying to make sure all those opportunities and people are aware of the impacts. This, I know everyone's busy and there's a thousand submissions that go through, but they've just got to be aware of what it actually means for our community.
There's a comment also on Councillor Cadwallon's question about the $3 million was 1.5.
Yeah, so there's a couple of parts to that. The cost, we're seeing costs across the board just constantly going up. So that's also been feedback that these programs, you don't get a second bite at them. Make sure that you are putting in revising cost estimates and things like that. There is a couple of options in terms of what we see. The best repair, we've put in what we think is the best solution. But again, that'll be part of that EOI process and that next level to really nut it out. But we don't want to go in with a lowball figure and then get caught. Like, this is about, we do not have the financial backing to be able to top that up within the flood fund. So it needs to cover that full cost. Under the guidelines, they want to see some contributions, but we've been able to also seek clarification, previous repairs, in-kind contributions from our staff, and all those things can be put in as part of what our contribution is. So we've been able to start pull some of that information together as well. So, it's been quite good in terms of those conversations, but hopefully we'll see that in the new year be rewarded in terms of it's actually gone through that gate.
So as you can see, we are trying.
Can I just ask a question? What are we doing in terms of trying to get adequate funding for floodplain management?
So we've raised it historically with each government, the existing, the previous government, in terms of funding there. There has been a complete reluctance from the state and federal. The view is, historically, it is through the constituent councils. Problem with the constituent councils is they've only got X amount of funding as well. So there's a comment in there that the strategic review will provide that direction when we get those results and have that conversation with council, because unfortunately I feel, not preempting the outcome of that, but we're going to have to make some tough decisions. I think it's similar to like council's road networks. We may be forced to say that there's certain areas that we will have a certain level of service, other areas we may have to have a different level of service because we've only got a certain amount of funds, and it's about making sure that we understand the risk and the long-term impacts of where we're investing those funds. It's an area that is underinvested, and we're constantly with government trying to raise the issue. The government is very quick to release funds post an event, but not in terms of proactively. And that's the frustration I think everyone around this table feels when it comes to flood. It's the dollars that get released after the fact. It's like, but we're starting to see some changes in terms of betterment funding and hardening some of these assets. Personally, I'd like to see a substantial ramp up in that area. It's a start. It's a good positive start compared to where we've been historically, but more needs to be done in that space.
Anything else in the Bungle Wall and Libby?
Can I just say thank you for the update? And it's good to hear. I'm sure it'll be reassuring to people there, and particularly I hope we get in conversation with Mr. Minson Watt. Might bear some fruit. He seems to be around some of his stuff. So, I mean, disappointing to hear how this can potentially bureaucratically fall between the cracks of different programs. I mean, that's just astounding, but it is what it is. And thank you for the update.
He was very, how could I say the word, very not forceful, but he said, we need to find some money for this job. And I don't care if it's money left over. He took it on.
Right. Just another item I'd like to pull out was the annual model code of complaint statistics. I'd just like to thank everyone in this room for the way we behave, and by having complaints lodged, I think that's we're focusing on what we're elected to do, and that's make positive outcomes for our community. So it's great to work with people who are all focused on the same job. So thank you very much for that.
I just wanted to say thank you to Chair and our senior staff, and I think particularly the General Manager. Having attended the recent local government conference where code of conduct was discussed, not only in the conference room, but also behind the scenes with councillors who have come from councils there that have a terrible track record in this system, which I think everyone admits needs reforming to sort out the problems. But the General Manager plays a very key role in it the way it is now. And so I think this is a credit to him and yourself for building a collegiate atmosphere here in this room, which always makes it a pleasure to come along to, which is not the case by any means with a lot of councils in New South Wales. So thanks.
That's your sense. And we may not all agree with what the debate, but I think there's a lot of respect for each other in the room, and that goes to staff and councillor session.
I don't think on this kind of conduct thing too, because I have some spending in it. So Lismore put ours out yesterday, and we're just under